know that this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. I know because the advertisements on television for Memorial Day specials are all about. And that's that Memorial Day. Memorial Day in my family is when everybody comes to our house and goes down to the beach and jumps in the water. It's usually about 56 degrees. But you got to go all the way in, because the rule is if you don't, you can't go swimming in the water for the rest of the summer. There are a few takers, you know. It was Christina and me first, and then others, and you got to go all the way in. But not this weekend. If it was 56 degrees in the water, it was 56 degrees in the air. So it's just not the same. But, you know, Memorial Day is the day that it's kind of like the kickoff of the summer season. You know, it's barbecues and it's all those other good things that people come together and celebrate. But it's a far cry from what it originally meant. Memorial Day. The observance actually was called Decoration Day, and it started shortly after the Civil War, where people went and remembered those who had died in that great conflict, the war between the states. So over 655,000 people died to create a new beginning for the country. But the name Decoration Day was changed to Memorial Day shortly after World War I. You know, that was the war to end all wars. And, geez, there was only 116,000 Americans who died in that war. But then there came the next war to end all wars. That was World War II. And we topped it, 418,000 American soldiers, sailors, airmen, Coast Guard, Marines, they died. And still, people come and decorate the graves of those who have gone before. And although the sacrifice was really great, there is an estimate of 56 million people who died because of that conflict, either civilians or in starvation. It was terrible. But that was the war that was going to end all wars until Korea, you know, and there was a whole bunch more people. 558,000 Americans died in that one. And then, of course, Vietnam. My brother served. He liked it so much, he went twice. And a lot of people died for that one. And I still don't know what for. But then it came, again, more conflicts in America's longest war, Afghanistan and Iraq. And I still don't know what for. There's never been a time that we've known peace. Our country began with conflict. And it's always been a part of it. Vietnam War, 1970, Edwin Starr had a song. Oh, you remember? War, good God, y'all. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
And it's true. It doesn't solve the problems. It doesn't make anything go away. It's still true. And there's wars. Wars continue. There's Ukraine and Russia and India and Pakistan and Israel and all its neighbors, and it's all over, and it's in our communities and it's on our streets. It doesn't ever end, this conflict that we live with. It still goes on. Sometimes there's a pause in the action. It's estimated that in the 3,600 years of recorded history, there has been 14,000 wars. I think it's a low estimate, really. And the people who studied this say that there's been 288 years of human history that there has been peace. I don't think they were looking real hard to find out where the conflicts were. There's never been a time. There's a pause, maybe, and sometimes the conflicts let us stop. They have a cup of coffee break, you know, and then we just get right back onto it. Brokenness never ends, and it's because the world doesn't know peace. The world can't give you peace. Jesus can. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus says that he can give us what the world cannot. Jesus says, "Peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid of anything." Jesus spoke these words the night that he was betrayed. Very shortly, there was going to be arrest and betrayal, and there was going to be torture and eventually death, because that conflict never ends. Those disciples who were with him that night, they didn't get it. They're confused. They're afraid. So Jesus tells them, "Don't be afraid. I told you this was going to happen. I've told you all along this is what's going to happen. But there is something better to come." Jesus tells them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. I will give you peace. I'm going to leave you with peace. Peace that is beyond all understanding. Not like the world gives. I'm going to give you peace. His own special kind of peace." He didn't want them to be looking for peace in the world. The world can't give it. They're not going to find it there. 3,600 years of human history, there's never been peace. But folks, you know, and let's face it, folks continue to look for peace. If not from without, then maybe from within. You know, if I could just get myself to be at peace, maybe I could join one of the cults or something that, you know, you do this and say a lot and you can find inner peace. That works until you open up your eyes and then you realize you're still all in it. Folks go looking for it because it's the conflict, the burdens still weigh on us. You know, so you can try different things. So maybe if I got rich, you know, if I won the lottery, then all of those silly little problems will go away. And, you know, me, I'm ready to share. I'll spread sunshine everywhere I go, just dropping dollar bills. Peace. But ask those folks who win the lottery, there's no peace. Maybe I could get back into shape, you know, and my body will be stronger. My blood pressure might go down and I might be a better person, but that age is going to keep creeping in. There'll be no peace. Maybe if I could get my family back together, like I got a brother who he and I don't always agree on anything. Maybe if we could get peace, I could know something of it. But that's not going to happen. If you could buy a special book, you know, like one of those self-help books. I know somebody who has a collection of them. She reads a little chapter here and then puts the book over here and gets another one and reads another little passage and puts it over there, and there's a stack that high. And she's not going to know peace. None of these things are going to bring lasting peace, not outside and not inside. It may be a temporary fix, you know. I'd like to win the lottery. It'd be great. I'd fix this room. Amen. I'd spread sunshine. Temporary fix that makes you feel good for a while, but it won't be long until you're searching again for that elusiveness of peace. You know something's wrong. We know something's wrong. It's all around. There is a conflict. There's a war going on outside and inside. The war is good for absolutely nothing. And it serves only death, and it only serves destruction. I believe that there's a lot bigger problem. There's a bigger problem that's going on out there and in here. I thought about this for a long time, and I really believe that it all boils down to the original sin. You know, the sin where there's fruit hanging and the people in the garden see it, and they're told that it will make you wise. And your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. And they knew only good. That'd be fantastic. Only peace. But to take it and grab it for your own is an act of greed. I want what God's want. You can handle the good. You can't handle the bad. It's too much. God said, don't touch it, because when you do, you will die. There's no peace. There was a desire to have what didn't belong to you, but you took it. And almost every conflict, every war is based on greed. The desire to have what somebody else has, and the desire to hold on to what somebody wants. It's a difficult place to be. There is no stopping at it. It keeps on rolling along. There's always conflict, because there's always greed. The desire to have that and to hold on to it. Desire to take, not give. I think that's what keeps peace. I think that's what keeps real peace beyond our grasp. If you're looking for peace, you're looking for peace, or especially inner peace, the way to live in the world, it's really time to stop looking outside or inside and start looking for God, because it's the only place we'll find it. It's time to start looking for Jesus and to receive the gift he freely gives. We don't have to take it. He gives it. It's a gift of grace that you don't have to wrestle for. You don't have to fight to possess. He tells you, you don't need to be troubled. Don't be afraid. He can give you the kind of peace that the world can't give. And that's one of the gracious acts of Jesus Christ. First thing, he makes peace from that original sin. He makes peace between God and our rebellion. Across bridges the gap. And he takes that one thing that keeps us from having peace with God, he takes it and leads it to its own demise. The sin in which we're born with is taken. The sin that we commit in our lives is taken. That original sin is taken. Deeds done and deeds left undone. All those things that nag you at night that are unsettling. Sorrows and hurts and everything that messes with your mind. And you wish you could put them away, but you can't, because they're always there, and there's nothing that we can do to get rid of them. It's like the heap of garbage that lays in our heads. There's an image in the book of Job. Job paints a picture of what Jesus has done with our sin. Job says, my offenses will be sealed up in a bag. Memorial Day weekend, just picture the garbage, all those chicken bones, yeah? And all the leftover potato salad and the bratwurst and the cauliflower and the broccoli. Oh, it all stinks to high heaven. So you put it in a bag and tie it up, set it out by the curb. I'm not being sacrilegious, but Jesus is the garbage man. He comes and takes that, all that sin, all that stink, and he takes it away. My sins are like tied up in a bag, and he takes them away. The garbage truck comes, and it's gone. He dumps that bag of sin at the foot of the cross, and there it's taken away forever. And now you're forgiven. Now you're forgiven, and there's peace. You can look up and know that there's nothing that stands in the way between you and God. It's all cleared up. There's no conflict. And when we sin, and we will sin again because greed is in our world, Jesus still comes and gives. He gives. He gives. He doesn't take away anything that's good, like garbage. He takes it away and gives us good. He gives us peace, real peace. Not like the world gives, but peace. Peace in the Bible is all-inclusive. In Hebrew, it means the wholeness of a person, of the wholeness of the human race, of all creation. It means good health, well-being. Everything should be yours that is good. In the language of the New Testament, it means unconditional, eternal life, the eternal gift of Christ to his followers. Peace. Look it up. It's so many times it's mentioned again and again and again. In war, the aggressor takes and the oppressed give up. And Jesus, he takes and then he gives. That's why he doesn't give us peace that the world gives. He gives us even better. For the world, peace is often conditional. Peace is fragile, temporary, a coffee break amongst all the rest of the conflicts. That's not real peace. That's not what Jesus gives. There are no strings attached. There's no promises that will last forever among the world. There's no strings attached with Jesus. It's a wonderful promise, and it's going to last forever. Peace I give to you, Jesus says. And even though there are all kinds of things going on around you and in you, and maybe all kinds of things that are happening, and you can look up and you can see, there's a God who loves you and wants you to know peace. There's a God who looks for you and says, I forgive you, and I'll take that garbage. There's someone who makes a promise to care for you. So today, we pray for peace. With reverence, we remember those who have given their last full measure of devotion to further the cause of peace. Peace in our world, a world without violence. We pray for that. And today we pray for the strength to stand firm in our faith, stand firm in the battlefield of the world with the faith in Jesus Christ that can overcome things by the power of his love. And today we pray that we would receive in our hearts and in our minds the peace of the Holy Spirit, and that it would continue to keep working through us, by us, for us. Today we pray for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And that peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.